Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The series Search Party is many, many things. It's a satire of millennial malaise. It's a mystery. It's a courtroom drama. It's a psychological thriller. And the season, the final season, is all about cults. Search Party is the creation of Charles Rogers and Sarah Violet Bliss and Michael Showalter. It began as the story of Dori Seif, a Brooklyn millennial and recent NYU grad, struggling to find sense of purpose in her dead-end job. She's played by Aaliyah Shawkat. But when Dori hears a former NYU classmate has gone missing, she thinks she's finally found her purpose, solving this mystery. So she enlists the help of her kind of hapless boyfriend, Drew, he's played by John Reynolds, and self-involved friends, Portia and Elliot, played hilariously by Meredith Hanger and John Early. That's where the show starts. But man, does it take some turns. As one reviewer said, the show starts out like Nancy Drew and then goes full Hitchcock. You see Dory's character become a famous killer with her own stalker, and the end of season four saw Dori meet her end. She died for 37 seconds before being revived by EMTs. But that experience changes Dori profoundly, and she emerges back into the world with a mission to bring what she calls enlightenment to the masses. Dori's magnetic personality and new message of hope grant her a following one might describe as cult-like. But when Dori teams up with a stylish and smooth-talking billionaire to create an enlightenment pill, things start to head south fast. That billionaire is played by Jeff Goldblum because, of course. Let's listen to a bit of the trailer.
I died, and then I came back. I can see the world so clearly now. I see through the lies and the illusions.
That's a level of narcissism that none of us can relate to.
If that's not what crazy looks like, I don't know what is.
She needs, like, real help.
Dori's ideas could change the course of human history.
We can not only know love, but be love.
You're starting a revolution.
Oh, don't you feel it?
Munja, munja, munja! Let's go!
This is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius! Age of Aquarius!
We are trying to accomplish something Aquarius. That has never been done before.
To sell enlightenment?
Aquarius. I'm with you.
Me too.
Let's do this!
This is the revolution.
You sound crazy.
I'm devoted.
It's a fittingly wild end for a show that defies genre and expectations. The fifth and final season of Search Party is streaming now on HBO Max. Here to discuss the last season and the whole series are co-creators and executive producers, writers and directors, Sarah Violet Bliss. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
And Charles Rogers. Hi, Charles.
Hi.
And also John Reynolds is with us. He stars as Dori's boyfriend, Drew, for five seasons straight. Hi, John.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Like the Knicks hat, by the way. Like the Knicks hat a lot.
Thank you.
So, Sarah, I'm sort of curious about, I want to ask you a business question first, because the show's had an interesting life. It started on network, right? And then it went to a streamer. And how did it wind up going from TV to streaming? And what was that like for you guys, that transition?
Yeah, the transition was because Warner and AT&T merged, basically. We had been in the dark a little bit about where the show was going to go. They just kept calling it the streamer in a very mysterious way. And so we didn't know what that was going to look like and had no idea that it was associated with HBO in any capacity. And so going from TBS to the streamer, which then became HBO Max, there was a couple of years where, you know, our show was off the air because they were waiting for that mm-hmm. to happen. And we, for those years, we were like, well, I hope this streamer's good, you know? and then it turned out to be great. And now more people can see it. And like TBS was also great to us, but it's, you know, in this new digital age, it's the easier way to find content. And it was pretty hard for people to watch the show before it came onto HBO Max. And now it is here. It's easier. And so that's a pro in my book.
So Charles, I read somewhere, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because you know the internet.
You're wrong.
That when you all were starting to develop this show, and it begins with this murder mystery, this woman who's gone missing, and Dory thinks she can find her and becomes obsessed with it, that you guys were listening to the podcast Serial.
Yeah, we were listening to Serial, and yeah, I think true crime had an especially hard hold of our country at the time. And this was the Obama era, believe it or not. And so, you know, that we basically, Sarah Violet and I had made a feature film called Fort Tilden before this. And we were, you know, it was like a millennial satire, and it was really polarizing because the characters were cringy and we were fresh out of NYU. And that was like our calling card. So basically, people kept throwing hooks on us for like how to take our satire, millennial gaze or whatever, and try and make it be more mainstream or commercial, or find a way to make it be a TV show. So basically, Michael Showalter and Jax Media, that makes Search Party, they thought about murder mystery hook because we were listening to Serial, and that was just so in the ether. And immediately, Sarah Violet and I were like, that is so fun, and that's exactly what we want to do. And it was like a really fun homework assignment that we ended up putting our souls into. But of course, the show's like expanded so beyond a true crime genre at this point. And it's like a completely different, it's the exact same show, and it's a completely different show at the same time.
I know what you mean by that. I'm not sure I know why I know what you mean, but I do. John, what did you think when you first read the script?
For season one?
I actually could ask you that for every season, couldn't I? Actually, let's start with season one.
Well, I had watched Fort Tilden first, and I loved Fort Tilden, but they have, Charles and SV have a really great way of writing very sort of cynical ancillary characters. And there's a lot of them, and they're so funny in Fort Tilden. And it was pretty depressing of a watch for me. So I remember having to take a walk afterwards.
Why?
The script was really funny. And I was just excited about the cast, too, because I had been fans of Meredith Hagner from Hits. And I had known John from the New York comedy community. So we were already sort of friends. And then obviously had been a big fan of Alia because I was an Arrested Development kid. So, just excited.
What made you have to take a walk? Tell me a little bit more about that.
I was living in Williamsburg and in Brooklyn, and I was like, yeah, I could see myself wanting to take a big barrel home and putting it in my house. So maybe recognizing myself in it a little made me sad. And
that's was along the nose.
Yeah.
My guests are Charles Rogers, Sarah Violet Bliss, and John Reynolds. We're talking about Search Party. So Sarah Violet, as I mentioned, this stars in a mystery. It gets dark. It goes darker. That whole Nancy Drew to Hitchcock idea, at least for the first couple seasons. And then it goes full bonkers this season. When did you know it would start to go darker?
We didn't know. Honestly, each season has revealed itself to us as we've had to, after we wrote ourselves into a corner and had to write something new. After the first season, that was the point that was the kind of the hardest transition from one season to the next, because we didn't know that that's what we were doing, basically, until we finally submitted to where the story wanted to go. And then after that, and feeling how that was successful and felt good to us, then it sort of freed us up to continue to take risks over and over again with each season. And, you know, we didn't know what the end was going to be at all when we started writing this season. And someone on Twitter wrote, like, I dare you to watch the first episode of Search Party and the last episode of Search Party and figure out how you got there. And I think that that's a really good, sums up how crazy we let things go and the risks we took.
But the first shot and last shot are kind of perfect, though. I'm not giving too much away. kind of perfect. You said, you know, you felt free, Charles. Sarah Violet said she felt free to take risks. And you know, you feel free to take risks when failure doesn't freak you out or failure is acceptable on some level. How did you have that environment? What was the environment that lets you feel that way?
The whole process of making this show has been weirdly very organic and personal and kind of like an indie film from day one. So we made the pilot years ago. It was self-financed by the company that produced Search Party. And so we made it in a vacuum and we made it our way. And then we showed it to networks and we said, you know, you either get it or you don't. And I think the fact that it's so, you know, there's an arty quality to the show that I think maybe goes over some corporate heads. And so we never really got intense notes or direction at any step of the way. And we were lucky enough that it kept slipping through the cracks and just getting accidentally kind of getting bigger and bigger as it went. So in a sense, we just kept making something that we would want to see be on TV. And as long as it felt meaningful and exciting to us, it felt like we were doing the right thing. So it's almost, I think it's like this weird anomaly that the show ever existed, it ever got as big as it did. And now I see on Twitter, like so many people tweeting, like, it's the best show no one is watching. Like, why is no one else talking about this? I'm like, I don't know. I think a lot of people are watching it, but everybody wants to have this personal relationship with the show where they feel like they're the only one. And it's taken me a while to figure out that maybe that's what it is.
Well, that's really interesting. That's so interesting to think about it that way. John, you know, there are so many funny and absurd side plots and subplots in this series. I'm curious if you have a favorite plot point for Drew, something that you just were really enjoying playing.
Yeah, every season there's always like a hidden Drew gem. Obviously, when Rebecca Robles' character, who plays the princess, the proposal, that was a huge highlight for me. When Phoebe Tyler screams at me in season one, that's a big highlight for me. Honestly, any moment where Drew can explode and have a giant freak out, I'm always eager to play those, and it's kind of my time to pop off. So just grateful for those, I suppose.
Sarah Violet, how did you all come to find the voice for the show and land on the right tone? Because even though each season is so different, there is that through line.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the product of true collaboration. Oh, nice. It's really, you know, when you write something and you haven't, like when you write the pilot, you have ideas in mind of what these characters are going to be like, but until you see everything come together, including the really talented actors and the costumes and the production design and everything that's going to be in the frame, you don't really know. You have an idea of what the tone is going to be, but then you don't know until you actually see it and go through it. And then you start to understand more what it is and write towards it. So, you know, I think that is true for any, there's not, I don't really believe that like the director solely controls the how the tone is going to be. They obviously have a huge part in that, but you know, everyone, you get the best people as the best people that you can for each department, and together you create something that surprises all of you, I think.
Charles, you know, it's been, I don't know if it's because of the pandemic or what, but in the past 6 months, people I've interviewed, really interesting creative people, people have been swinging big this year. There's just been, you know, from Jared Leto to, you know, Bradley Cooper and Licorice Pizza, people are swinging big. But this show has always had a big swing, taken a big swing. When did you decide you all were just going to go for it?
I think the show has gone for it a little bit more incrementally with each season. I think that we started out, and you would never be able to sell this show with the season 5 premise. It requires that you start out with a really simple story about a girl looking for a missing person that she barely knew from college. And that's the beginning. Like, that's just a very mm-hmm. simple conceit. But I think having gained the trust of people watching it, you're allowed to make bigger and bigger choices. But the most important thing for us in conceiving the show has always been that however big the swings are, whether, you know, Jeff Goldblum is playing an Elon Musk who's helping Dory make an enlightenment pill and she's got a cult full of influencers or whatever, it's like, it's got to mean something. Like, it's got to be a metaphor, a parable for something that's either happening in the world, or it's got to mean something really personal about these characters. So as heightened as things get in the show, we're always treating their emotional realities very seriously. And that is what the comedy can get glued to and make all these tone shifts, you know, feel allowed.
John, all through the series, Drew has been struggling with this idea that Dory, his girlfriend, person he loves, regardless of where things are going, and won't give anything away, but that she might not be the best person. She might not be the best influence on. She might be a little toxic for him, but he just can't stay away from her. What keeps bringing him back to Dory?
Yeah, I think it's pretty complicated, and I feel like that's the main thing I talk about with Charles and SV before every season. Like, why does Drew keep coming back? And it changes from season to season, but I think in season 5, it's this realization that no one will understand him or really love him in a way that she can. And unfortunately, they are sort of bonded by this traumatic event, you know, the murder, the trial, seasons 1 through 4. And I think one of the main things for Drew is he's always looking for some sort of happiness or some sort of semblance of normalcy. And I think by the end of the series, this is the most comforting thing he can have. And this is the closest he'll get to that sort of normal reality he wanted in the first place.
We're talking about Search Party. I'm speaking with the creative team and one of the stars, Charles Rogers and Sarah Violet Bliss, as well as actor John Reynolds. We'll talk a little bit more about Search Party and this season specifically after a quick break. This is All of It. This is All of It. My guests this hour are Charles Rogers, Sarah Violet Bliss, and John Reynolds. We're talking about Search Party, which is in its final season. It's now streaming on HBO Max. You can watch the whole thing if you want. So this season, though, let's talk just specifically about the season for a little bit without giving too much away. Sarah Violet, we see Dory. She becomes this kind of cult leader. I want to say congratulations to the wardrobe department because her outfits get gauzier and golder and more sort of weirdly ethereal as the season goes on. What is it about Dory that people are attracted to? She's extremely magnetic.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, first of all, inherently, when someone has a near-death experience, you want to hear a little bit about it. Right. You know, she's so confident in her new perspective that it's really fascinating, especially from where she came from, to be in such a dark place to suddenly be full of joy. That's something that I think anyone would be like, well, I'm interested in how you did that. And she appears to really have changed and enjoying life in a way that, like, we all are incapable of doing unless we had had some spiritual, you know, experience. Like, she's seen the other side and has the answers, and people are attracted to that magnetism.
Charles, the characters are all so sometimes so ridiculous, and they're funny in their own way and appalling in their own, but appalling yet charming. We end up caring about them, and we end up caring about their friendships. How did you think about achieving that balance between the satire and then the depth, letting us be attached to them at the same time, really seeing all their warts?
You know, I think something Sarah Violet and I share is the ability to see people's faults understand what is cringy and ridiculous about people, but also respect them and try to understand where people are coming from. And then our writers also share that frequency too. So, and our cast is incredible, John Reynolds included, where, you know, like we cast really funny and incredibly charming, magnetic people too. So I think there's like a je ne sais quoi thing about the show that is able to lampoon what is so preposterously terrible about humanity, while also celebrating what's beautiful and vulnerable and real about people. And I think that kind of gray area is exactly where the show rests. And I think it's something that is, you're either on board for, or it just doesn't speak to you. It's not how you process life. So,
John, I'm curious about the chemistry between the four of you, because that's really a big, to Charles's point, the casting is really important. Was that something that was organic? Sometimes those things you meet and it goes, or sometimes it's something you work towards or you can work towards. How did it work out for this crew, this team?
I think it's a bit of, you know, Charles and SV's taste in making the decision to put us all together. And then I think it also is sort of just lucky that there's a shared sensibility and understanding. I think there are a lot of mutual friends, and a lot of the actors that they put together kind of come from a similar comedy community. So there seems to already be sort of a shorthand. So it wasn't hard. I felt like it was very natural and very easy. And even from the pilot, when you're looking at that brunch scene, and I remember being in it, I was like, oh, I understand this. I think we're all on the same page that this isn't just another sort of boring millennial show. This is a satire of this, and we're all, firing in on all cylinders. That was a horrible thing to say.
Well, let's hear a little bit of the chemistry. In the beginning, Drew is sort of, Dory does whatever she wants, kind of, poor Drew. But he starts to learn how to stand up to her a little bit. And sometimes he seems like the only one in the group who's making much sense, to be honest, or willing to sort of point out, like, this might not be the best thing. Let's take a listen to a clip from the final season. This is Drew convincing Portia and Elliot, the other two members of this friend group, that they should have, wait for it, Dory committed to a mental hospital. This is from Search Party.
I can be friends with a dead narcissist. I cannot be friends with that.
100%.
You guys, I think that we have to think about this responsibly. I don't know if we can give her the type of help she needs. Like, maybe we should actually commit her.
What? Commit her to, like, a loony bin?
If that's not what crazy looks like, I don't know what is. Maybe she just finally snapped.
You know, I hate agreeing with you, Drewby, but I think, honestly, you might be right.
I don't know if you guys remember, but I was committed once. And you just checked yourself out. It's basically a hotel. I think she needs, like, real help, you know? Like, eyes on her at all times, you know? Like, full-blown,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
Can you imagine that person just out in a restaurant? Or a state fair?
Guys, what if she, like, hates us forever?
It doesn't matter. We have to do what's right, and also finally get her out of our lives once and for all.
Nursey, hi. Can we forcibly commit someone to a mental institution?
Yeah, you absolutely can. It's called a 5150. Is that something you'd be interested in today?
Yeah.
Stay fair just gets me every time. It's so random, and yet makes so much sense. You know, I don't want to give too much away, but, you know, the final episode, especially the final episode of the season, has a real sort of relevance as people see it, about what we're all going through now with the COVID-19 pandemic and having to live life in a very different way and having to accept living life in a different way. Let's just talk about, let's say it that way. Sarah Violet, was that always part of the plan, or was this something that the pandemic presented to you and you wrote about it?
When we were filming season four, we started having ideas about season five, and that included an idea that maybe Dory and the friends are responsible for, I'm trying to hold back on spoilers, but like responsible for a devastating a global thing.
Whatever the bad thing is, they started it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. And one of those ideas was a virus, and that was before COVID was, well, actually it was like at the very beginning of people sort of whispering about COVID, but we had no idea where we would end up 2 years later. So I think that there was sort of a, like, hearing the whispers of COVID, like actually the whispers of COVID, inspired us a little bit. And then when COVID happened, it was like, okay, well, we don't want to be too on the nose with that. Going through the year leading up to when we started shooting and being all locked inside and having this new normal definitely became part of what we included into the show. And first the chaos of like, I can't believe this is happening. And now the settling into, okay, this is happening and we don't know when it's going to end. Definitely going through this pandemic has like helped us understand what that would be like.
What's next? Charles, are you and Sarah Violet working anything together separately?
Yeah, we are in development for a feature film called Monster, which is about a girl who works as the personal assistant to an A-list actress who may or may not be a monster. It's a comedy, dark comedy, monster movie satire about power. And that's really at the forefront. And then, you know, there's always lots of little things.
How about for you, John?
Oh, you know, acting in some television, in some movies, and then just performing comedy around New York and trying to stay healthy.
Last part's the most important part, obviously. You all should check out the final season. Actually, you can check out all seasons of Search Party. It's on HBO Max. We're all going to be inside for a little bit for the next couple of weeks. It's a good binge, by the way. My guests have been Charles Rogers and Sarah Violet Bliss and John Reynolds. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.